This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. The Justice Department has launched a civil rights investigation into the Memphis Police Department over a possible pattern of excessive force. Here's CBS's Jim Krasula.
Kristen Clark is assistant attorney of the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division.
We received multiple reports of officers escalating encounters with community members, resulting in excessive force.
The investigation comes 7 months after the violent beating of Tyree Nichols by five officers after a traffic stop.
Nichols died days later. The officers have pleaded not guilty to murder charges. A grand jury is still deciding whether former President Trump will be charged for January 6 and his efforts to overturn the 2020 election. Prosecutors have been meeting for hours today, but it's still unclear when a final decision could be handed down. The extreme heat's not going anywhere anytime soon, forcing millions to make do.
Turn the water on, washing cars. I mean, that's it, man. Just stay cool. Drink a lot of water.
President Biden's also warning Americans to be careful out there.
The number one weather-related killer is heat. 600 people die annually from its effects, more than from floods, hurricanes, and tornadoes in America combined.
That's why he announced the opening of more cooling centers across the country and federal grants for communities to plant more trees to repel the heat. The CDC says more Americans are testing positive for meat allergies after some pretty nasty bug bites. Here's reporter Alexander Tin.
Up to 450,000 Americans may now be facing a red meat allergy linked to tick bites. Cases of alpha-gal syndrome are largely concentrated across the southern and eastern states where the Lone Star tick has been spotted.
Symptoms include hives or rash, nausea, and excessive swelling. If you feel any of that, stop eating that meat. A group in Louisiana wants state and federal leaders to investigate why migrants keep dying in ICE custody. WAFB's Josh Bowering has more on the latest casualty.
Ernesto Rocha Cuadra filed at least 29 grievances with the Jenna ICE Detention Center before he died in June.
29 cries for help fell on deaf ears.
Rocha Cuadra is the fifth person to die at the Jenna facility since 2016.
Fossils found in Thailand just identified a new species of dinosaur that lived about 150 million years ago. Paleontologist Clint Boyd.
It's a flashy animal in the environment, but at the time would have been a fairly common animal out there. It's a plant eater, so it's a herbivore. It's forming part of the base of the food chain.
It's small, too, about the size of a medium-sized dog. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed, the end-to-end hiring solution. Attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
This radio commercial.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. You could see some severe weather this afternoon and evening, as the National Weather Service in the Twin Cities says there's an enhanced risk of severe weather north of a line from about Polk County through Chippewa County and Wausau, and south of that line, a marginal risk. That means that severe storms are possible, could be scattered, with the main threats being high and damaging winds and large hail, and also the potential for isolated tornadoes as part of tonight's storm system. It comes after hot and humid weather across most of Wisconsin, with temperatures well into the 90s and heat indices reaching triple digits in some areas. If you are out and about, this week is the 99th Eau Claire County Fair. The event is on Eau Claire's south side, is in its first full day today, and has animal exhibits and contests from baking to building Legos. Admission and parking to the fair is free. The Dunn County Fair's first full day is today as well. The fairgrounds east of Menominee. Admission to each day of the fair is $5. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
It doesn't hurt, feels good to help. And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break. So we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag Civic Pints. Give blood and you could get a prize too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trigvi Olsen, senior advisor to the project, Lincoln Project, that is, that this is authoritarianism and the early, as Matt Flynn likes to say, the little cat's feet of fascism creeping in.
And the next time I see Scott Walker tweeting about Ronald Reagan taught us, there's never been a bigger bunch of balderdash ever perpetrated on people.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dominic, a Thursday edition. It makes it Friday Eve up in here.
Happy Friday Eve, Crudy. Good to be with you. Casper back on the boards. Great to see you as well. Our fair audience, happy, happy Thursday.
Dominic, we got a fine guest joining us later in this big hour. He is Charles Franklin, pollster extraordinaire. There is some new Marquette University Law School polling. I always get a little exuberant when there's new polling. The little snapshots into the political sentiment of the electorate, Dom. National polling. Some Republican polling. I wonder if this is a qualifier for the big debate happening in Milwaukee next month.
We'll find out.
We're not Charles quite to Franklin August.
Joins us at what time? 4:30 today. Charles Franklin.
You're welcome, Tom.
Thank you, Michael.
When so much an ask is a demand that I book him today.
It's just following up on yesterday's conversation, man.
More demands from you of me. Dominic, here is where I want to start today. You're an ornery little son of a gun.
Well, thank you. Sometimes I get that way.
You could be like, if you were a dwarf, you'd be grumpy dwarf, like grumpy Smurf, something like that. Do you know there's a new movie, a Willy Wonka movie, and apparently the Oompa Loompa is being played by the same guy that played, I think, Wolverine. How do you make a 5'10" guy into an Oompa Loompa, Dom?
Ah, oh, come on, man. The magic of Hollywood, Crudy. The same way you make full-grown men look like little hobbits in Lord of the Rings.
Maybe I got that wrong. Hugh Grant was not Wolverine, was he? Who was Wolverine? Different actor. Hugh Grant plays a Oompa Loompa, Dom, and he reminds me of you. Although, you know, taking work away from the little people, if you will. That could have been your job. You could have been an Oompa Loompa in the new Willy Wonka movie.
I could have been a contender.
Well, the point I want to tag you with is you were sort of grumpy to me today. And I'm thinking to myself, man, you know, if I want that sort of attitude, I just go hang out with Derek Van Orden.
Come on, he's way worse than I am.
I'm less than convinced.
Come on.
He just gets less headlines you get zero headlines. Hey, when's the last time Dom made the paper?
Steve, let's keep my head down, man. Never see me coming.
Something associated with the arrest, I suspect.
Yes. Well, I think more a federal settlement with the state of Wisconsin.
Well, that was the good part of the arrest.
Yes, yes.
Here's the bad part. Made you a little salty. And apparently saltier.
More salty.
Derek Van Orden, also very salty. More salty than he should be. Here's the headline. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden. And I'd like to put Congressman in air quotes. It's sort of a ceremonial position. I don't think he should hold for very long. But Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden reportedly curses out teenage Senate pages during a Capitol tour. Lawrence Andrea reporting freshman Republican U.S. Rep. Derek Van Orden republicly yelled and cursed at a group of high school age Senate pages while giving a late night tour of the U.S. Capitol on Wednesday. Now, let's start there. What the hell are you giving late night tours for? Little recon, little pre-insurrectionist tour. I mean, why in the hell are you going back to the U.S. Capitol, the scene of what I would allege is perhaps a former crime, if not by you, lots of your insurrectionist buddies, Derek Van Orden? What's he doing in the Capitol late at night giving a air quotes tour, Dom?
Very curious. I believe lots of Republicans were giving tours prior to the insurrection as well.
Van Orden, who represents Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. Now, Dom, I would take note. We have 5 or more stations that play out. And I'm talking about news talkers playing out in the 3rd CD. When he got elected, we had 0. So I'd like to think that's something of a ceremonial position for him.
Well, we certainly need to, you know, get the 3rd CD informed of this guy.
So anyways, Van Orden, who represents, called the high school age pages lazy, and it starts with an S, but I can't say it on the radio, and then told them to get the F up off the floor as the pages were lying on their backs in the Capitol Rotunda taking pictures, how dare they, of the building stone during their final week at work. These are people that work in the building. These are the young kids. It's late at night. They're going to take pictures. I mean, I've done that in this Wisconsin State Capitol. In that rotunda, beautiful art on the ceiling. It has to be enjoyed. It's like going to a museum.
Yeah.
But Derek Van Orden, not big on the museum attendance, I suspect, Dom. Now, as mentioned, Senate pages are typically high school-aged teens, nominated by their home state senator to help out around the Senate side of the Capitol, opening doors and delivering correspondence, among other tasks. So that means both Tammy Baldwin and Ron Johnson's nominated Senate pages were cursed out by Derek Van Orden last night. Probably. In an interview with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Thursday, Van Orden did not dispute the report.
Yeah, they are lazy little craps, and I told them to get the F up. That's right, I said it.
But rather noted the Capitol Rotunda was used as a field hospital during the Civil War for countless Union soldiers. Well, I'm not so sure he would have been on the other side, but let me read a little more. Here's a quote. I would think that I'd be terribly disrespectful to lay on the grave of a soldier that died fighting for freedom, Van Orden told the Journal Sentinel, and I don't know anybody that disagrees.
Wait, I'm sorry. Are there Union soldiers buried under the Capitol Dome? Or he's just making a comparison?
To him, I think it's the he's same? Implying that because it was used as a field hospital, there's a probability that soldiers died on the Capitol Rotunda floor. And to lay there and observe art on the ceiling is very disrespectful, according to the former insurrectionist turned congressman, Derek Van Orden, because no disrespect to the building when you're holding an active insurrection. And let's not forget, he may not have been in the building that we can prove, but he was at the insurrection. There's pictures.
He was there. And is it disrespectful to, I don't know, is it disrespectful to the dead Union soldiers that gave their life, that died fighting for freedom, when you and your cohorts overran the Capitol and tried to what? Destroy democracy, the very thing that those Union soldiers were fighting for.
Well, let me lay out a little bit more of Derek Van Orden's resume. The apparent outburst was the latest for Van Orden, latest outburst a retired Navy SEAL whose two campaigns for Wisconsin's rural Western District were checkered with online outbursts against detractors and temperamental behavior. Is that what they call it, Dom? In one
That's a nice way to put it.
In one incident from June of 2021, Van Orden reportedly berated a teenage librarian over
I'm sensing a trend here. He likes harassing the kids.
Over an LGBTQ plus book display. Van Orden at the time checked out every available book from the display before eventually returning them.
Did he read them?
Well, clearly not.
No.
More of a protest checkout, Tom. Wednesday night's incident clashes with Van Orden's effort to moderate his image since he entered Congress in January and present himself as someone working behind the scenes in a bipartisan manner. Very bipartisan, Dom.
Crudy, Democrats on Thursday were quick to attack Van Orden for Wednesday night's actions, while many pointing to Van Orden's presence outside the Capitol during the insurrection on January 6th as evidence of disrespecting the Capitol and its history. Yeah, I think we made that point. Van Orden maintains he did not enter the Capitol that day. Yeah, but you were there! Wonder if he told that to his fellow insurrectionists who were beating police officers on the same ground, Democratic Rep. Mark Polk, and our recent guest, who frequently takes shot at Van Orden, tweeted in response to Van Orden's comments to the Journal Sentinel. Wow, I'm shocked that a man who was part of an insurrection sexually harassed women in the military and screamed at a teen librarian aide because of LGBTQ plus display would do something like this, wrote Courtney Rice, the communications director for the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, which has signaled it would focus on Van Orden's seat and national Democrats' efforts to flip control of the House in 2024.
I wish we had a radio station or five in the third CD that we could help them with.
Yeah. I think we'll be all right. We'll do the best we can. We invite them to join us. Rice's comments referenced Van Orden's 2015 book in which he mentioned an instance when he revealed a male lieutenant's enlarged scrotum to unsuspecting female officers in an apparent prank. The Capitol Rotunda was indeed used as a field hospital during the Civil War, but no soldiers were buried under the Capitol building. All right. Asked and answered. While Van Orden took issue with the pages lying beneath the dome, the Capitol was also used to quarter troops during the Civil War. Just below the Capitol Rotunda and next to a bust of former President Abraham Lincoln is a plaque commemorating Lincoln's call for volunteers on April 15th of 1861. Troops from Massachusetts, New York, Pennsylvania, and Washington, D.C. were quartered in the building in response, according to the plaque. More recently,
members of the- means they stayed there. They slept on the floors. They utilized the rotunda to lie down. How dare they?
How dare they? More recently, members of the National Guard slept in the Capitol, including the rotunda, following the January 6th insurrection to protect the building. In the run-up to President Joe Biden's inauguration, Van Orden did not mention these facts in his comments. Van Orden's late-night tour is not unusual for the first-term Republican. He frequently invites invites groups he meets during the day on tours in the Capitol at night. About 50 people were with him on the tour Wednesday night, according to an aide. On Thursday, two Senate pages told the Journal Sentinel they were not allowed to comment on the incident. Another page simply responded, "No comment." Well, the A's did acknowledge they were in their last week of work. Thursday, they said, was their last day.
Better be. Today is their last day of work. They got chewed out, cussed out by an insurrectionist congressman from the state of Wisconsin.
For not respecting the Capitol Rotunda? I mean, really? Any self-reflection there, Van Orden, your crew? You crapped on the walls of the Rotunda.
Dominic, I'll give you one guess what I had for lunch. Come back, Four Devils Advocates. It feels like it should be Friday.
The Todd Alba Show.
That's been pretty rough on the Joint Finance Committee. I know you're going to give bipartisan praise that you're going to raise the pay for district attorneys and public defenders. You don't get an attaboy for finally saying, we finally heard people cry uncle enough times. You either govern all the time or not once a decade when it's suddenly convenient. So,
but I think we have to at least give people hope once in a while that there is something happening in Madison that is a little bit on the good side.
The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app, the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Tom from Madtown. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Heard you talking about Robin Boss, so I called Robin Boss's office and said, yeah, why is DEI so dangerous? And
nothing. The guy just stopped talking. I said, hello, are you there? I called him back and the phone got picked up and then they didn't say anything. You know, maybe you'll learn something if you listen to the Devil's Advocate.
The Devil's Advocates radio show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago, and that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Few showers and thunderstorms tonight. Some could be strong, warm and muggy with a low in the low 70s. A mix of sun and clouds tomorrow, maybe a pop-up storm and a high near 90. Low 80s with sun for the weekend and less humid. Next chance of storms early next week as temps stay in the 80s. Right now it's 93.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Radio show. You can always join us on the lines at 844-967-2789. Charles Franklin Polster from the Marquette University Law School poll is going to join us at 4:30.
I sure do hope so. You were so demanding that I book him. He better show up. I'll catch hell, Charles, otherwise. Adam, I've misinformed you and hadn't even told the audience yet. I'm trying to turn over a little bit of a new leaf, if you will. I've reached out to the congressional representatives.
Yes.
All the congressmen, all the Republican congresspeople here in the state of Wisconsin, excepting Derek Van Orden. I hadn't gotten all that way down the list. You know, V. Van Orden, he's sort of at the end. But I got to Brian Stile, and I got to Tom Tiffany, and I got to Gallagher. I'll get to Van Orden. And who else? There's like six of them, man. There's way too many relative
Tiffany?
To the
you
fact.
To Tiffany?
Yeah, Tom Tiffany.
Okay, all right.
And I told you, none had responded. That's not true. I've got a response. And it was actually fairly friendly. So perhaps the first one to join us, Tom, Mike Gallagher, congressman from the Green Bay area. He'll be on the ballot next year as well. But my new leaf I'm turning over, Tom. I'm going to reach out to all the Republican congressional representatives, and they're also on the campaign stump by next year. So I thought I'd ask them this year, you know, when the temperatures are low and the stakes are low.
Well, they'll get to know you.
They'll get to know you. They seemed appreciative. They acted like they might actually put the man on the show. We'll see. We'll see.
I'll believe it when they show up and the mics are on and they have something to say.
You know, our buddy Ron Johnson used to come on quite a bit, 25, 26 times, long-form in-studio interview stuff.
Used to bring us beer, man, the good old days on Brady Street.
Could we just let him bring us beer and you could still not like him? Because you've pretty much banned him. I mean, how does that work? How do you ban a U.S. senator from the airwaves?
You know, he's part of the insurrection, man. You know, I mean, how do you have a it was one thing to have a politician on the radio and you ask a question and they, you know, they answer a different question. You know what I mean? That's all fine and dandy. We're talking about literally the foundation of democracy here. We're talking, I mean, an election. This election was not stolen. This election did not need fraudulent electors.
Well, they tried to steal it.
They sure did. Their efforts, and Ron Johnson was, of course, a big part of that, be it a second or a minute or an hour. Either way, he was down. He was down for the program. He was down to attempt to deliver perhaps these, what, fraudulent slate of electors from Michigan and Wisconsin to Mike Pence so they could what? Just pause it, you know, kick it back to the states. And what did what was the testimony from Donahue from the Justice Department under Trump? I'm not asking you, the Justice Department, to snap your fingers and to undo this. I'm just asking you to say there was fraud and leave it up to me and the Republicans. Well, those Republicans, one of those Republicans is Ron Johnson.
Sure, if you're going to hold that against him. What about the spotted cow, though?
I know.
He might bring you a casserole, fella. He's Minnesota nice.
But that's all an act, man. You can be as nice as you want, but when you try to overturn democracy, you try to overturn the will of the people, you try to, and then what, the gaslighting? Oh, there was very friendly people. They stayed within the velvet ropes. No, that's not the case, Ron. I mean, I don't know what you're talking. So I don't want to give a platform to that kind of BS gaslighting, man. I don't know that I could be nice, cordial enough for the man to even show up. So I think he needs a boot in his ass. That's what I think. And all these Republicans that think this is some big joke, or think that, well, you know, it's just a plan. Hell, you know, Rudy told us we could do this, so we checked and we did. I mean, a lot of these folks are attorneys themselves. They went down this road. They went down this path. I think that's criminal. I think it's fraudulent. I think if you believe the big lie from Donald Trump that this election was stolen, well, then you have zero credibility. And if you're part of the conspiracy and you don't believe it, but you're saying it anyway, well, then you're corrupt. And either way, I'm not clear that I could give a platform to someone like Ron Johnson and not be in his ass the whole time.
Well, when were you ever not in his ass the whole time?
Oh, God, we were cordial enough, man. We had a good time with Ron back in the day, before they tried to, you know, overturn the will of the people and install a dictator. Because what do you call it if you keep a man in power who lost an election? That seems like dictatorship to me.
What about his liberalized new attitude on try all the drugs? Well, I mean, you were pretty libertarian on that topic yourself once upon a time, Dan. Yeah,
but unfortunately for Ron, you know, that was in the context of what? I don't even know. The hydroxychloroquine and all that. I'm not clear what the context was.
Right to try, I believe.
Right to try. He certainly isn't down for legalized marijuana.
No, he's told us.
Legalized cannabis in the state of Wisconsin. So, okay, so try all the drugs when I allow you to, but not try all the drugs when you want to. No, thank you, man. Guy needs to go away. I have no desire to have that man lie to my face again, to lie to our audience. I have no desire for that.
Okay, I'll bring him back some Friday you take off.
Okay.
Ron Johnson, you're invited, but only on absentee Dom Fridays. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. We've got a fine guest joining us next. He is Charles Franklin. You know, it's funny. I looked up at the call list, and no Charles yet. He's joining us via Zoom. But I see CJ, and it's been notated. CJ is calling from his mom's basement. That's not a bunker location. That's your mom's basement, CJ. Get out more.
Bringing the meatloaf, man.
The meatloaf. Meatloaf.
What is she doing up there?
CJ may want to stick around. You may all want to stick around because we got some new polling insights. I love new polling, national polling. And we're going to have to ask our pal, Charles Franklin, does this polling set the stage for the Milwaukee debate? Is this a qualifying poll? I mean, we're in the window of opportunity, right? There's some people that need some good numbers on this poll. You know who didn't get them? Ron DeSanctimonious. Me, Paul Ron, he's fading nationwide. He is the new Scott Walker, but I told you that a long time ago. Come back, more Devils! Charles Franklin, our fine guest next.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News Brief. The DOJ is looking at possible civil rights violations at the Memphis Police Department over its use of excessive force. It killed Tyree Nichols earlier this year following a traffic stop. Attorney Kristen Clark.
Whether the Memphis Police Department engages in racially discriminatory policing practices with respect to Black residents of this city.
A grand jury is still undecided over whether to indict Donald Trump for January 6th. CBS's Graham Cates.
It's not uncommon for potential defendant's attorneys to want to meet with the prosecutors as like a last-minute stab at trying to avoid charges.
And the scorching heat won't delay Arizona's high school football season. Desmond Williams is a quarterback in Chandler.
I feel like getting into football and playing in Arizona, I mean, you just got to know it's going to be hot outside, and it don't really matter. Like, you just got to like toughen up and just go through it.
It hit triple digits there every day for weeks. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. You could see some severe weather this afternoon and evening, as the National Weather Service in the Twin Cities says there's an enhanced risk of severe weather north of a line from about Polk County through Chippewa County and Wausau, and south of that line, a marginal risk. That means that severe storms are possible, could be scattered, with the main threats being high and damaging winds and large hail, and also the potential for isolated tornadoes as part of tonight's storm system. It comes after hot and humid weather across most of Wisconsin, with temperatures well into the 90s and heat indices reaching triple digits in some areas. If you are out and about, this week is the 99th Eau Claire County Fair. The event is on Eau Claire's south side, is in its first full day today, and has animal exhibits and contests from baking to building Legos. Admission and parking to the fair is free. The Dunn County Fair's first full day is today as well. The fairgrounds east of Menominee. Admission to each day of the fair is $5. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Eric was way behind on his taxes.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS, almost $15,000. I tried to make payments.
The IRS wasn't satisfied with Eric's efforts, so they came after him full force.
They're coming to put a lien and a hold on all my income, my home, my car. I was just overwhelmed at what to do.
Then Eric called Optima Tax Relief.
When Optima Tax got involved, the calls would stop, the threats would stop. It was easy, like, 1, 2, 3.
Optima Tax Relief is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, and their team of expert tax professionals took care of Eric's problem.
I owe $15,000, and now my debt is clean. I don't owe anything.
Take Eric's advice.
If you have a tax problem, you need to call Optima Tax now.
Call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at CivicMedia.us.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What if I just, instead of giving out the talk and text line, just started giving up Robin Boss's number all the time?
He needs to hear from us. It's
844-96-PARTY. What is it?
Write it down. 608-237-9163. Call now.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattenair. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. It's what's on tap for the Chippewa Valley.
93.5.
The Tap. 93.5. The Tap.
Welcome back to the Devils Advocates Radio Show. We got a fine guest joining us very shortly. Should be joining us via Zoom. Charles Franklin, poster extraordinaire. We'll give him a second to acclimate. Hey, bring that music down. You know I hate the frickin' Eagles, don't you? Charles Franklin, Marquette University Law School, poster extraordinaire. Charles, just in the nick of time. Welcome back to the Devils Advocates.
Well, we made it work.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
Charles.
You.
Charles, good to see you again.
Always
good to
timely.
Be here.
Unlike my friend Dominic, he's often tardy, but you're always timely, always a timely guest. Charles, new polling last couple days, you've been dropping it. First and foremost, the most important question that some Republican friends may want to know, is this a qualifier for the Milwaukee to get on the stage in Milwaukee? Would this poll help them to get on the stage, sir?
No, it will not. Because the sample size is below what the Republican National Committee is requiring to be a qualifying poll. They set that number quite large And so any usual national poll like ours won't meet those numbers. They essentially have to be a special poll just for Republican respondents, whereas we wanted to interview the entire registered voter population, Dems and reps and independents.
Well, you can't really pit them head to head, but you can check about what favorability and unfavorability. Is this the metric of choice to sort of measure sentiment? Let's talk about the field. Donald Trump still crushing the field here in the state of Wisconsin, is he not?
Here in the state, he's doing well, but in our June poll, he and DeSantis were surprisingly close. In this national poll, though, we have Trump at 46%, DeSantis at 22%. That's right in line with national numbers where Trump is somewhere close to 50 and DeSantis has fallen into the low 20s. And in our polling, Trump was at 40% in March, but then 46 in May, and now unchanged in July. So no further upward movement for Trump. But DeSantis has been coming down from 35 in March to 25 in May, and now down to 22. So a drop of a solid 13 points for DeSantis over that time, and a 6-point increase for Trump. Then you fall back into the folks that are in single digits.
Well, let's talk about the single-digit Republicans, because they're the ones trying to get on the debate stage. And this may not be a qualifier, but it's still a snapshot. Right. So what can you tell us about the also-rans at this point?
Yeah. Here we see three that are in, I'm going to call it respectable single digits, if that is such a thing. Mike Pence at 7. He was only at 2 in May and at 5 in March, so he's bumped around a little bit. Nikki Haley at 6, Tim Scott at 4. And those are the three that are above 1%. Then you drop back to Chris Christie at 1, Ramaswamy at 1, Hutchinson at 1, Burgum at 1, and then everybody else is at below 0.5% or literally had no one that supported them in the poll.
Well, Charles, it's hard to get excited about the positive movement for Mike Pence. I looked at your favorable, unfavorable. The guy's negative with Republicans. He's net negative, unfavorable. I like the joke. They'd rather hang the man than vote for him, Charles.
Well, that's not far from wrong in these data. We see that Pence, actually a lot of Republicans hadn't turned against Pence last year. But this year, with the increase in criticism coming from Trump and maybe the various investigations going on, we've seen Pence coming down pretty steadily among Republicans, so that he now ends up being the second or third best known Republican, but one that a lot of Trump supporters have now turned solidly against. And that really pushes down his numbers overall.
Folks are listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Charles Franklin, pollster at the Marquette University Law School, polling, joining us. Charles, Mitt Romney, other Republicans have suggested perhaps, you know, the Republican unify behind one candidate. And you polled on this question specifically, if that candidate is DeSantis versus Trump, what does that look like here on the national polling?
When you just put the head-to-head DeSantis or Trump as the choice, then it becomes very close. Trump is just over 50%, DeSantis just under 54 for Trump, 46 for DeSantis. And what that's based on, remember Trump was at 46 on the first choice. It means Trump goes up a little bit, but DeSantis goes up a lot. Why is that? It's because 80% of the people that pick another named candidate other than Trump or DeSantis move to DeSantis when it's a Trump or DeSantis. And a solid majority, 55% of those undecided, move to DeSantis. So I think what you're seeing here is not really surprising, but it's pretty vivid. And that is, among Republicans, somewhere close to 50% want Donald Trump as the nominee. And he's their first choice of most of those folks. Then there's the rest of the party that would like somebody else, but they're not decided on whom, and some are just flat out undecided. So when you push them to make a choice of Trump or DeSantis, They're really not moving to Trump on that second choice. That does show the theoretical possibility of a non-Trump candidate emerging and the party unifying behind them. And then we'd have something of a real horse race. But we're not seeing any signs yet of that congealing of the party. In fact, if anything, with DeSantis moving down, the most prominent challenger is doing worse, not better. Those in the single digits have moved up a little bit, at least some of them have. And I think that is the non-Trump Republicans looking for somebody, but they've just absolutely not settled on who.
I've
never heard it described as congealing before, but that seems very, very apt somehow, Charles.
And along those lines, then first choice, second choice, Trump obviously leads that one, but DeSantis is a strong second choice for most folks.
One of the things that shows up that's kind of interesting is that while Trump, while DeSantis has been falling off in vote and his favorability is down a little bit from its previous high, he's still right up there with Trump as being well-liked within the party, including being well-liked by Trump supporters. And so the issue for him is how to parlay that relatively good feelings about him into votes when a lot of the people that like him also like Donald Trump, and so he's losing that vote to Trump instead of taking it away from Trump, which back in November and January, it looked like DeSantis had a real shot of pulling Trump supporters over to him, not turning them against Trump per se, but saying it's time to move on and DeSantis is our guy. Starting in March, that started to fall apart and it accelerated in May and July, and DeSantis is now in a weaker position, but he does still remain the next best liked Republican. So if something happened to lead Republicans, especially Trump Republicans, to take a second look at DeSantis, that's sort of the obvious way for that coalescing, if you don't like congealing, coalescing of the vote around an alternative to Trump.
No, congealing like last week's chili in the bottom of the pot, something like that. I like that. I like that. Our fine guest, Charles Franklin, pollster extraordinaire from the Marquette University Law School poll. But Charles, I care less about, you know, the machinations of the Republican field than the matchup against Joe Biden. And when you match these two top of the ticket candidates against Joe Biden, it's a little surprising, perhaps I would say shocking. Ron DeSantis is beating Joe Biden head to head. Trump's even. Is that about right?
Yeah, I think it's about right, but we should really say they're both really close and inside the margin of error. But DeSantis is 51 to Biden's 48. It was 52-48 back in May, so hardly any movement there, but a slight tightening. With Trump, it's 50-50, and that is tightened from a 52-47 in May. So I'd say the race is a little more competitive overall, and it is as close as it can get in a Trump-Biden matchup. But we've seen DeSantis doing fairly well against Biden. It's just that he's not converting that into Republican Party support. What's going on here, though, is that the parties in terms of party identification are really evenly balanced. And so even among those Republicans that don't like Trump, the idea of crossing over to vote for Joe Biden in a general is just anathema. They won't do it. In the same way that Democrats who are talking about voting for someone else other than Biden in the primary also aren't crossing over to vote for Donald Trump if that's the choice. So the result is right now the presidential matchups are very, very partisan affairs. And they move a little bit from month to month, depending on how independents happen to be leaning that month. We're a long ways away from November 2024. So I think the thing to watch here is simply how do these things move over time? And do we ever see a point where we're getting sort of a steady movement in choice and a steady movement among independents? I think we're looking into next year, maybe well into next year, before those trends are meaningful.
Charles, we may have more indictments against the former imminently, but you did poll on the known indictment on the classified documents, the Mar-a-Lago case. Charles, what did your polling tell you? Do people think that this is a big deal that the former president may have possessed classified documents? Is he guilty, sir, according to the Post?
Yeah, in some ways, yes. In some ways, no. I think it's really interesting. 65% said they'd heard a lot about that indictment. And that's almost the same among Republicans and Democrats. 69 of Republicans, 72 of Democrats. So this is a story that has crossed party lines. We're not going, yada, 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 I can't hear you. We're both sides hearing that message and reading about it. But then it gets a little more complicated. Do you think Trump had classified documents? With Republicans, it's 49 who say yes and 50% who say no, he didn't have classified documents. Now, that's up from 40% yes back in September last year, with 60% of Republicans saying no. So Republicans have come a little ways on believing he actually did have documents, but it's still an even split. With independents, 78% think he had them. With Democrats, big surprise, 95% think he had classified documents. So there's a big partisan split in what you make of having those documents. And then finally, we asked, was having them, if you had them, illegal, careless, but not illegal, or he didn't do anything wrong? With Trump, it's 49% illegal, 28% careless, 12% didn't do anything wrong. But it's a minority of Republicans that believe Trump did it something illegal with the documents. It's a majority of independents and Democrats.
Charles Franklin, what about the issue of abortion? Obviously, we think it dominated the Wisconsin Supreme Court race back in April. National polling, what are the sentiments of the electorate?
Still very much an important issue, and still one where a big majority opposes overturning Roe versus Wade or favors abortion rights. There's been just the smallest movement in opinion on this. In November of last year, 33% favored overturning. Now it's 38% favor the overturn of Roe. And opposing that has come down a little bit from 66 to 62. Still over 60% opposed to the ruling and not a lot of change. And when we ask, should abortion be legal most of the time, all of the time, or illegal most or all, we still get a 2-to-1 saying it should be legal all or most of the time.
Well, that would be different than much of the sentiment amongst Wisconsin Republicans, at least. Thank you so much, Charles Franklin. The only last one. How about Biden's approval rating? How's Uncle Joe doing?
Up just a little bit, still in the low 40s in this partisan time where the opposite party gives you close to 0% approval rating. Those numbers just don't move as much as they used to in the good old days.
But he's got a 57 disapproval. Yep. That's a net negative 15 if I can do a little math on the radio, sir.
He needs to pick up some independence. That's where the sweet spot is.
Come back. More Devil's Advocates. Less Charles Franklin, though. We appreciate you coming around today. Always appreciate when you go inside the numbers. New Marquette University Law School polling. Thank you, Charles Franklin.
Thanks for having me.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Because I joined last night and I'm hopeful. Wow. I'm hopeful that it is more fun than Twitter has been lately, because Twitter has not been that fun lately.
I do wish it weren't those two.
I know. It's a weird thing to be cheering for Mark Zuckerberg right now.
I'm choosing between the Joker and the Penguin. This is not a winning solution.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently, that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope they don't get to the Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
app.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Econowoc. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raised the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. 93.5 The Tap.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A severe thunderstorm watch continues for portions of the area. Few showers and thunderstorms tonight. Some could be strong, warm, and muggy with a low in the low 70s. A mix of sun and clouds tomorrow, maybe a pop-up storm and a high near 90. Low 80s with sun for the weekend and less humid. Next chance of storms early next week as temps stay in the 80s. Currently, it's 91 degrees.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Happy Friday Eve. You can join us on the lines at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, want to thank our most recent guest, a fine one, pollster extraordinaire, Charles Franklin, Marquette University Law School pollster. And Dom, we got a unexpected guest because we got some severe weather going on. Our friend and colleague, Corey Hartman from Civic Media, got a weather update, a tornado warning. Some of our listeners should know. Let them know, Corey.
All right. Northwestern portions of the state. This is northeast of Hayward. A tornado warning continues in that area for Bayfield, Ashland, and Sawyer counties in Wisconsin until 5 p.m. Severe thunderstorm that apparently had a tornado on the ground earlier is now capable of producing a tornado, and it is about 12 miles north of Chippewa Flowage, and it's moving east at 30 miles per hour. Tornado and golf ball size hail possible with this, affecting a lot of the lakes area up there. Clam Lake, Spider Lake, Ghost Lake, Lost Lake, Moose Lake, Teal Lake, and Day Lake. So if you're on the lakes area to the east and northeast of Hayward, listening to AM 910, that's where you need to be seeking shelter at this time. The tornado warning is surrounded by a severe thunderstorm warning for Bayfield, Iron, Washburn, Ashland, Price, and Sawyer counties. That goes until 5:30, and that's for some tennis ball size hail. Now that's one storm, and as we slide further to the southeast, there's another severe storm near Balsam Lake. This is northwest of Amory, so listening there on our station, and that is for Chisago, Minnesota, and Polk County in Wisconsin, and that continues until 5 p.m. Tennis ball size hail and 70 mile per hour winds, and that should be in the Amory area around 5:15. Curdy,
thank you, Corey Hartman. Severe weather in our listening area. Amory, that's 1260 AM. Keep it locked. That's Lake Country. We kept talking about the Lake Country. Also, Hayward, 910 AM. You can hear us all the way to Duluth on that station. So if you're in the Northwoods right now, keep it locked right here. We'll give you updates as they become available. But severe weather, be careful out there. You know, it's a crazy thing.
Hail? That's insanity. That's dangerous.
That would kill you. You do not want to be caught outside in tennis ball size hail. Now, I saw golf ball size hail. I had the Gold Maxima many years ago. That thing just turned into Swiss cheese. Yeah, golf ball size hail. Had a little insurance claim that day, I recall, Don, but I couldn't imagine being out there getting pelted by those things. It would literally significantly injure you or perhaps kill you to get hit in the noggin by a tennis ball size piece of ice coming down from thousands of feet in the air.
That would be bad.
So, you know, don't let our lighter tone. We're not being dismissive. There is severe weather in the Amory, Baldwin, and Hayward area. Please keep it locked right here across the Civic Media Network. And Dom, we're going to turn our attentions to the former president soon. Apparently, yes, he was told he's under indictment. He's going to be indicted, or at least his lawyers were. But what do you got?
Some additional comments reporting from our earlier discussion about Derek Van Orden and his appalling behavior at the Capitol.
Congressman from Wisconsin's third, insurrectionist.
So, yes.
Convicted of bringing a gun onto an airplane, was he not?
Loaded gun. Yep.
One in the chamber. That's how you, if you're packing on a flight, you should have one in the chamber, should you not?
But that was on the way back, so you got to wonder, did he get away with it on the way there?
I would think yes.
Okay, so yeah, that guy, Rep. Derek Van Orden. Punch Bowl News, Jake Sherman reported this, but it is blowing up. It's on the Raw Story, Crudy's favorite.
I saw it there as well.
It's on the Drudge Report, and the Drudge links their aggregator to The Hill, and on The Hill, it is the number one article right now. And I want to bring this to your attention because they have some more of the language of the conversation, let's call it, of what Derek Van Orden said to these kids. Here we go. According to The Hill, and according to a transcript written by a page minutes after the incident and obtained by The Hill, Van Orden called the pages jackasses, pieces of S, and told them he didn't give an F who you are. The pages are a group of 16 and 17-year-olds. 16 and 17-year-olds! Who assist Senate operations, and when the Senate works late, as it did Wednesday night, on National Defense Authorization Act amendments, pages generally rest nearby in the rotunda. Wake the F up, you little S. What the F are you all doing? Get the F out of here. You are defiling the space, you pieces of S, Van Orden said, according to the account provided by the page. Who the F are you, Van Orden asked, to which one person said they were Senate pages. I don't give a F who you are. Get out, you jackasses. Get out. The incident, which occurred just after midnight.
My question would be, is who the F are you?
Right. Just after midnight, which occurred, outraged members of the upper chamber, with one calling the string of remarks horrible. Van Orden did not dispute the exchange and defended his actions. We talked about that. The history of the United States Capitol Rotunda, that during the Civil War, it was used as a field hospital that countless Union soldiers died on the floor. They died because they were fighting the Civil War to end slavery. I think that place should be treated with a tremendous amount of respect for the dead. Really? Did you feel that way when you and your cohorts were ransacking the Capitol? When you're chanting, hang Mike Pence, you know, all your Republican mega buddies? Is that what you were thinking? Because I don't think you heard you criticize that. And he goes on to say, if anyone had been laying a series of graves in Arlington National Cemetery, what do you think people would say? Not the first time Van Orden flashed his temper. Of course, we talked about he threatened a 17-year-old library page in his home state after a gay pride display and demanded to know who set it up. Yada, yada, yada. Derek Van Orden is a terrible human being. And when you treat 16 and 17-year-olds like that, I got to tell you, you talk to my kids like that, you and I are going to have a big problem, Derek Van Orden. And who the F are you? Who are you to talk to them like that?
I believe he's on probation currently, Dom, for his gun charge. I did a little research. I don't know why we don't talk about this more. I mean, the guy's freaking literally on probation for taking a loaded gun on an airplane. Republican Derek Van Orden, insurrectionist, is running to fill a seat being vacated by Democratic U.S. Rep. Ron Kind. He won, despite the fact Van Orden was cited in August of 22 for having a loaded 9mm Sig Sauer handgun in his bag at a security checkpoint at the Cedar Rapids, Iowa airport. Again, that was his return flight. Van Orden, a prayer to Sheen, entered a guilty plea in December. A magistrate ordered to him to pay $360, take a firearm safety course. He was also fined an undisclosed amount by the Transportation Safety Administration. And my understanding is he's on probation. Congressman on paper, Derek Van Orden. You think he'd watch his conduct? Now, right. I cannot verify this, but there are texts coming in that claim Van Orden had a copious amount of alcohol in his congressional office last night. Photos are being circulated. Think he got all hammer drunk? Took a bunch of paper, drinking buddies walking around?
Sometimes terms of probation state that you must stay sober. I wonder what those terms are.
I was on no alcohol probation once. I didn't stay sober either, Derek Van Orden. I won't hold that part against you, but the rest, I will.
It doesn't hurt, feels good to help. And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break. So we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag Civic Pints. Give blood and you could get a prize too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.